this is Joe Abunazar, and with Impact Basketball, we're really excited to partner with Coaching You Live and Coach Brendan Fair and Kevin Eastman with our certification program. We've put together an online program for player development, over 17 hours of video that we feel will really change the way players are developed and be very, very helpful to coaches, trainers, parents all over the world. So really excited to partner with Coaching You Live. We've put a special deal together with Coaching You Live to provide a discount code of Coaching You Live entered in our promo code, all lowercase, Coaching You Live, at our website, impactbball.com. Impactbball.com. If you click on Get Certified, and you can go right to the page to get signed up, enter that Coaching You Live code, and you will receive the discount. But really excited. It's a great program. I think that it's going to change the way players are developed. That's been our mission since we started training players 18 years ago, and it continues to be our mission today. Now we're sharing this knowledge for the first time with coaches all over the world.
Welcome to another edition of the Coaching You Podcast with the coach, Brendan Sir, and our great friend and Coaching You attendee, student, and future faculty member, Jose Fernandez from the University of South Florida. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Brendan. Thanks for having me on. It's truly an honor and a pleasure to talk basketball with you.
Well, you know, you've been coming to our events for years, and we've gotten to know each other, and you're just down the road from me in beautiful Tampa, and I have marveled at what you have done with that program in 15 years since 2000 when you took over. You have turned that program into one of the very, very elite ones in the country, and competing with every year the best team in all of women's college basketball in the University of Connecticut. I think it's really important for our listeners. I don't care if you're coaching high school, college, men or women, to talk about how do you build a program and then how do you sustain the excellence in it like you've done. Jose, give us some ideas.
Well, I was, Brendan, I was at the right time, at the right place at the right time when I got this job in 2000. I was 27 years old.
Wow.
And now, still here at USF, but I think, I've been very, very fortunate. I went to the, attended every Coaching You, and I know you and Kevin talk about being a lifelong learner, mm-hmm. And I was very, as a coach, I went to my first Final Four in 89, and I think it started with relationships and surrounding myself with great people that I could just listen to and learn from, and it led into getting some great experience. I was a student assistant at a junior college, and I was a head high school coach, and went the Division II route. But when I got this job, we won 4 games my first year. The school record for wins was 16. We played in a high school gym. We didn't play in the arena. We played where the volleyball team played in the corral. So, we went from 4 to 14, and it recruiting was the biggest piece. We needed to sell a vision on how we were going to do things. And we were in Conference USA back then. I think it's easier, to make a turnaround. I was talking to Gino about this. He's a great friend and an unbelievable mentor. When I met him in 2002 in California, we went out to lunch and I asked him, "Hey, could I get you on the schedule?" He thought I was nuts, but I went out and scheduled premier programs because it was going to attract recruiting and also get the community excited about women's basketball.
Good call.
So it started there. Hey, we're gonna sell a dream, sell a vision, get people excited about the programs. Now, we weren't ready to play those programs, but I think it showed the community and the kids we were recruiting where we wanted to be, We were able to play Connecticut in year 3, and then in year 5, we're still the only team to take Connecticut to overtime in Gamble Pavilion. So,
yeah.
you know, year five, we went to the NCAA tournament. So, and, you know, year four was the NIT. So, it started with recruiting, getting the right kids. Who you hire is so important, Brendan. You want to hire a great staff. You're only as good as the people that you surround yourself with. And to have that same vision and belief, and loyalty and trust, that you want to exude as a coach. And, I was able to, I have two people on my staff. One's been with me 10 years and then another one that's been with me for 8 years. So when you have that continuity, that also helps, Brendan.
Yes.
As well. And that's huge. But, you know, now 1550 after being here 15 years and going to 11 postseasons in the last 12 years, and, top 40 preseason, top 25 ranking came out, and we're going to be in that. It's great to look back and see how we've done it. And I think we've done it with some unbelievable kids in our program. You know, John Gordon, has worked with our team now for four years, you know, and I met John at Coaching U, and,
yeah.
We've been able to get him on campus, and he talks about it all the time. The culture in your program is so important. You know, you can have all the talent in the world, but if you can't win in that locker room first, you're not going to be very, very successful. You know, and Brendan, we don't get the blue chip guy here at USF. You know, we got great facilities, we got great weather, we got a great institution, but. You know, we've taken pride in doing a great job recruiting and developing guys that were under the radar guys. We've had three kids drafted in the draft, and not one was a top 100 kid. You know, we're going to get two more. You know, our two seniors are going to get drafted next year, and we have the leading scorer in the league and the leading rebounder in the league. So, it can be done if you do things the right way.
Well, in going forward now, you have this incredible program of UConn, which since UCLA would wooden, my opinion, we have not seen a dominant team in all of collegiate sports like UConn women. How does that affect you and your team, as even an elite team in the league, having them to compete against?
Well, Ben, everybody talks is UConn good for the game. You know, I want to play them as many times. I want to beat Connecticut. You know, we're trying to recruit the best players that we can get here that want to be the best they can be and want to beat UConn. I want to coach against the best coaches in the country. You know,
I agree.
And I think Gino's the best coach in the country. I think there's a lot of teams in the country that have the players that he has, you know. They're getting All-Americans just like he has. I think, you know what, he gets the most out of his kids, you know. He's a tremendous tactician. He does a great job XML-wise. But I think he demands more of those elite guys that he gets than everybody else gets, I think. I mean, the way that they play, the way that they sprint the floor in transition, the way that they defend, you know, there's no wasteless possessions. So, we played him three times this year, and we got closer and closer as the year
every
went
time.
Off. The last game, I didn't
every
want the
time.
Game to end. I wanted to keep playing. Add more time, you know?
Yeah.
But –
now, every time your score came closer and closer, and I noticed that, you know what, you know, you made it uncomfortable, which I thought was great. I love that word. You know, they don't like playing against your guys because they get up and into them, and they're aggressive. They drive the ball at them. I almost cursed on my show, but they don't take any you know what from them, and I think that is fabulous, and it comes across on TV. Which is a great tribute to you and your staff of how hard they play, which is the ultimate, you know, gift that our players give us as coaches. What has Gino, from your perspective, what has he done for women's basketball?
Well, I think he set the bar. He set the bar for what everybody wants to be as a program, and the way that they play. Like I said, every day the way that I recruit, the way that I prepare, my goal is to be Connecticut, and if that's not my goal, then the kids don't believe that our goal is to play for the Final Four. I mean, that's on everything we do. It's in their locker. It's the cover of their playbook. Our goal is to get to the Final Four every year,
That's great. That's awesome.
So it starts with belief. I think a lot of teams, lose to Connecticut because they can't believe they can win, And there's a lot of useless energy and rah-rah and motivational speeches, but it starts with preparation and belief. If you don't have that and have a good game plan, to beat them, you got to rally the ball. You got to do the little things right. You can't have, live ball turnovers and give them extra possessions. You can't take a playoff. All the little things, your side out of bounds, your out of bounds unders, your free throw blockouts. All those little things were, the transition basket, those are all extra possessions. You can't give a team like that those kind of baskets. Everything's got to be 5-on-5 against that, making them work for everything that they get.
Jose, I watch your team often because of our friendship, but also, that we're in the same area, so I get a lot of your games on TV. And the thing I love about your squad is that, you play a pro style, what I call a pro style. You run, great stuff. Tell me about, what you've seen as far as the style of women's play now. I think it's at a very high level and continually getting better, which is great, whereas we can't say that, in my opinion, about the men's game, collegiate game. But I really think the women's game is on its way up, which is great. Give me some of your thoughts about style play that you're seeing, not just at USF, but across the board, trends, systems, et cetera, that you think for our listeners to, that are really maybe trying to put together what they think might be a good style play for their team.
Well, I'm a big proponent of when we made this change, we added the 10-second backcourt count. We got the 30-second shot clock. And I think the game has also evolved and changed, in the way it has been officiated as well, with more freedom of movement and cleaning up the post play and cleaning up things away from the basketball. But
the women's game is a very physical game for those people that don't watch it. Am I correct? The women are good. They're tough. And they play so hard. So when you say they've cleaned it up, it was a very physical game, correct?
It was. It was. And I think you have seen the field goal percentages go up, the scoring go up.
Yeah.
And our game is different than the men's game. It's played below the rim. I enjoy it. There's much more teaching, much more tactical stuff involved. Mm-hmm. But there's still room to grow. I love international basketball. I'd love to go to 24-8 and even play faster.
Yes.
But there's talks about the 5-second closely guarded call on the live dribble. They're also at the end of the game moving the ball up to the 28-foot line on a timeout. So I think there's still some very exciting things that we can add to the women's game to make it more exciting to watch, as well as a viewer, adding all these different things. As far as our style of play, our game has just changed so much with the influx of international basketball players around the country too. We have 5 internationals on our team. Currently, and we've got one coming in next year. Like you said, you've seen us play, Brendan. There's a difference between running and sprinting, and we really want to attack people in transition. That's our first thing. And I like having five guys on the floor that can all handle and put it down on the floor and step out and shoot the three. But in the half court, like you said, I love middle pick and roll. You're the best in the business in that with the middle pick and roll and horn sets. And I like to, I don't like wasteless possessions. I like to get, you know, we, like you said, we run a lot of side two on two, three on three action. And in all the sets, you know, we want to attack, the scouting is so important. We want to attack different areas of the floor, and we want to attack defenders that are not going to be able to defend, you know, multiple actions, you know. So when you play us, you gotta really prepare for different actions. Okay, how are we going to defend middle pick and roll, side pick and roll, you know, screen on the high side, screen on the low side. You know, you're going to see pin downs, you're going to see flares, you're going to see staggers. So the more things that you have in your system and your kids, while teaching your kids also, you know, the reading how to, when to fade, when to curl, that all comes with individual workouts and individual instruction. And, you know, when we get our kids here in September, we don't do anything as a team. We do a lot of two-on-two, a lot of three-on-three work and build from there. And teaching them those actions. And so then when you introduce your multiple sets, they already know what we want out of those things that we want them to do when there's five people on the floor.
That's such an advantage for you. Talk about like UConn style. I've watched this guy evolve now, Gino, and tell me from your perspective, what's he trying to do, with his team from an offensive standpoint, first of all?
Well, his team this year, you saw him play a little different just because, you know, when he had Stephanie Dolson, you know, and he had her there at the high post and the pinch post, Stephanie did such a great job, you know, when he'd enter that high post, she was a good passer. So kids can come off and she can, you know, inside pivot or reverse pivot, face you and shoot it. You know, guys, that you can enter it there and, you know, she can hand off and then set a quick screen, you know, and then come back, like we call it a wiper screen, you know, screen re-screen. I think she did a great job up there. And then this year, you got Tuck and you got Stewart, and you know, when you put Stewart at the five and you got four perimeters, well now, I mean, you gotta guard a kid that can put it down on the floor, they can shoot the three. So I think things have changed for him, you know, with his personnel and the way that he plays. But, you know, I think the most important, the thing that he does, they are very, very tough to defend in transition. You know, I think that the way that they share the ball in transition and the way that they find people in transition, you know, and use a trailer, you know, and the way that their post players, you know, can pass out of the post and skip opposite. But, you know, their wings do such a great job with that baseline drive, baseline drift, middle penetration, and guys circling behind. I think it starts there with what they do in transition.
What about from a defensive standpoint? Where do you see the trend of the women's game? A lot of man-to-man type of stuff. You know, more zone. What do you see? Any much pressing, et cetera?
Well, I think more people have pressed now because we got that. You know, you got the 10-second that court count. You know, and you know, two things with a 30-second shot clock. Okay, are you going to press to turn people over, or are you going to press to slow people down and make them use clock? So
yes.
I think it depends on, you know, I've seen a little bit of both, you know. I think it all depends on, you know, personnel. And sometimes I've seen some teams play a certain way and, you know, they're not very successful because they're trying to play a certain way, but they don't have the personnel to play that way. So I think as a coach, the most important thing, you have to really just adjust to the people that you have. Now, then if you want to play a certain way, you know, recruit to play that way, you know.
That is, as Kevin Eastman, my partner, would say, that is a nugget right there, brother. It is. Tweet this one out. is that don't coach the way you watch someone else coach, recruit, and then coach the way that person does. I think that is incredible because I think we see that at all levels of the game. We try to play the way someone else that's very successful is, but we don't have the talent, correct?
Well, you know what, and here's the thing. I'm a basketball junkie, you know, as far as, mm-hmm. you know, clinics and reading books. I think when I go to coaching you, you know, I want to go to coaching you or I go to a clinic on things, what's going to help me with the personnel that I have.
Yes.
You know, I think sometimes, you know, and you've seen it, you know, a team will win a national championship or someone runs a certain way, and then all of a sudden you got a lot of coaches, you know, they might not have the personnel to run dribble drive, but they'll run dribble drive, you know, or, you know, triangle just because they like the triangle BBB. And, you know, I think some coaches make those mistakes and they, you know, they're setting themselves up for failure and not putting the kids in the best situations, to succeed.
We saw that, years ago, I remember when Phil Jackson was in Chicago first when he's running a triangle, and so many women's teams that I would observe were running triangle, and I didn't see any of them with Jordan or Pippen, you know, and they couldn't score, and they couldn't score, but, you know, they executed, but they couldn't score. And what the triangle does is, you know, and if you have terrific players, the triangle is good because the spacing on it is so good, it's very difficult to double team. That's where, you know, Phil was able to finally beat us with the Pistons because we couldn't double team Michael anymore because we couldn't get to him. He put him in the pinch post. We couldn't get to him, you know.
Right.
And that's what's so good about this. And then I saw so many women's teams run to the Princeton-style play because it's beautiful and everything. But the only problem with the Princeton style, and I love ball movement and player movement, was – it takes so long to teach men and women players how to read the mm-hmm. defense. And so it's difficult. And unless you're willing to wait 1 year, 2 years, I find it to be difficult. You know, but people do love systems. But I think it's important to marry the system to your talent. I think that's a great nugget for us and all. Jose, where do you think if you're looking down the road in our women's game, from a high school AAU perspective, where's the future of this game going to come from? Is the AAU, I mean, I love it that we have a million kids playing. I think that's always positive. Is that a good thing, not from a recruiting standpoint, maybe, but is it good for the game from your standpoint as far as having all these young women play a bunch?
Well, you know what, Brendan, and I don't, I've spoken on this in the past. There's some very, very good travel coaches.
Okay? Yes.
I think there's a small percentage of travel coaches that teach, that practice. I think we play too many games.
Mm-hmm.
We play too many games. There's too many tournaments. There's too many travel teams. I just got back from recruiting this past weekend. I went to South Dominion and I went to Boo Williams. And I might have seen three basketball games out of the, I don't know, 80, 100 that I saw that were competitive. You know, and it's I don't know how we make it better, but there's just not enough practice. There's not enough teaching, and it's really college coaches sitting there, so the kids and the coaches can see that you watch their team play. But you know, I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy going to travel tournaments. You know, to be honest with you, I love going over to Europe for the World Championships and the European Championships, to see a kid play one game a day, you know, and that game means something. You know, it's tough to go watch a team and they play, you know, two, three games in one day and, you know, the games aren't meaningful. the game.
They get immune. They get immune to losing too, in a you know, subliminal way. In a way, you know, because there's always another game.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's always another game. Yeah.
I don't know if you take it. Do you take away the spring evaluation period? Do you take away the fall evaluation period? Maybe, you know. I remember, you remember this, probably 10, 12 years ago, you only went to AU basketball, and you had the Nike camp, the ABCD camp, and, I mean, that was it. And kids played one game a day, you know. Now it's, you're paying $500-$600 for a coach's packet.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Names that you already have. So it's just different. It's different, but I don't know how to change it. But
it's a dilemma for men and women college coaches. I totally agree. What does Jose do now, my man, in your off season / on season, as far as with your team now at the collegiate level? Your kids are ending school this week, you know, exams, et cetera. And I know probably they're coming back for summer school, et cetera. So what are we allowed to do just for those high school coaches or whatever? Tell us what you can do with your kids in the off season.
Well, the most important, the big thing for us, I mean, basketball-wise for me, you know, self-reflection is huge. We'll go over and analyze. My three assistant coaches, you know, we had our end of the year. I had my end of the year meetings with every player. It's so important, the relationships that you have with your players on your team.
Yes.
Spending time with them after the season, you know, especially outside of basketball and outside of the office too, as well. But then my position coaches had also, you know, we have very in-depth player evaluations after the season, you know, summer workout plans, the expectations. The great thing is when you have a season like this, we only had 1 week of individual workouts because we went so long. So, you know, I really look at everything we ran in transition, in the half court. We ran side out, out unders. Late game, you know, what worked, what didn't, why did we run it? You know, every possession that we had all year and points for possession and everything we did is charted. So I go over all that stuff. And, you know, Brendan, at our level, you know, if you don't recruit every day in this business, you know, you're losing to somebody. So relationships are huge with high school coaches and staying on top of travel coaches. And we got two big weeks of camp in June. And, you know, we'll have those 8 weeks of individual workouts. I'm taking my team to Spain for a foreign tour.
I was just
going to
ask you if you were going to do a foreign tour. Yeah. Okay, great. Spain,
yeah,
huh?
We're going to Spain.
Wonder why we picked Spain. Okay, that's okay.
They got good red wine there.
Oh, I'm surprised Gino's not your manager for the trip. What cities are we going to there?
You know what? We're going to fly into Madrid. We're going to be there for 5 days, and we're going to take that zip. That we're going to take that train over and be in Barcelona for 5 days. So we're going to play four games over there. And then our kids will report back at the end of July. We're going to practice, you know, 8 days and then head on over.
Yeah. See, that's where team development, bonding and all that stuff goes through. That's a phenomenal trip. That's one of the great perks, so to speak, in college, in that you get that little extra, and sometimes it really leads to special seasons, I think, you know, for you. One interesting question I had, I think, for our listeners, I'm fascinated by this, when you have your end of the season meeting with your players, which I think is so critical, what kind of questions do you ask them?
Well, you know,
or what is your discussion, I should say, with them? What are we talking about? Yeah.
We discuss everything, Brendan. I think from an academic, from a social standpoint, I think self-reflection is huge. And I think that, you know, what type of season do you think you had?
Right.
You know, what are some
That's a great question right there. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What are some of the things that you could have done differently? You know?
Like that.
You know? Practice, weight room, the time spent out of the 20 hours that you're allowed, you know, at this level, you know, if you don't invest in your game collectively as a team, you're not gonna be very good. I think, you know, there's so and we talk to our players all the time. If you're not putting in extra time and extra effort, watching film and getting shots up and getting extra free throws, you know, someone is going to pass you by and you're not going to reach the level, your level of potential, you know. So those end of the year meetings are big, and they're very, very important. And I think they're also a springboard of what's got to happen, you know, in the summer, you know. And some meetings are great and some meetings are not so good. And sometimes, you know, kids really have to look back and they have to change, for them to get what they want, you know? They're crucial. They're crucial. And I think they're also just as important, you know, when they get back on campus, you know? You know, to get them in the right set on, you know, and I've heard you guys talk about this all the time, you know, and having, making a kid understand what their role is going to be, you know. It might not be the role you want, but it's the role that we're going to need you to have on our team for us to be successful, you know. And that's huge.
And that is one of the key, and 90% of college coaches are darn good recruiters. They're good salespeople. So that you must sell your players on the role you want for them. I have so many coaches that we work with that they say, well, I really don't want to hurt the kids' feelings and tell them not to shoot. Well, you know, well, don't tell them that, but tell them you want them to be the best screener on the team, you know. But I think if we're afraid of talking to them about their role, don't be surprised with the outcome. You know, no, it's really simple. You didn't hurt their feelings, but you lost the game. So I think this is great. I've learned a ton from this today, Jose. And as our first women's coach to ever come on our Coaching You podcast, what an honor. And you were great. I really appreciate this. This is going to be fabulous for our listeners. And my friend, it's a blessing having you down the road. And it's really, I'm so happy with your success. You know, as I am for all of our coaches that come to Coaching You, but as a personal thing, I'm really, really happy for you. Thanks again for being on.
Thank you, Brendan, and thank you for your support and friendship.